Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God. And we're going to be talking about a lot of other things, maybe, if you want to call in. I'm kind of in a mood for calls, so we can try that, see how that works. And the number is, I think I've got it here somewhere, 347-324-3704. If I'm not right, Cheryl will correct me. So it's 347-324-3704. One of the things that I had a lot of things I was going to talk about. We were working on a number of other series that we've been recording, and we're just about ready to wind that up. We've talked about all kinds of things on the radio today and different stations. But this simple little basic premise that there are two definitions for religion. One is religion is what you think about the Supreme Being. That's the way, one way it's defined, or what you think about God, or what you think about Yahweh, or what you think about whoever it is who's the creator. And another definition of religion is how you fulfill your duty to that creator, father in heaven, whatever, and to your fellow man. Now, those two definitions actually supplant one another from time to time. And there is, in almost every generation, some people that like the one and some people that like the other. Now, in Rome, for a period of time, they actually had two completely different words to define those two religious terms. One was threskia, which has to do with what you do, because remember, religion is defined in one place as the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. It's actually what you do. And the other one is what you think, your opinion about God or the creator or whatever you want to call him. Now, the Romans called that superstitio. And we, from that, we get the word superstition. It didn't mean it was superstition. It just meant it's what you think. It's what you think in your head. And then, of course, we have the word faith, and we have several different definitions for that over the period of man's history. One time it was probity. It's actually, faith is this conviction that makes you do what you do. I mean, you just got to do it this way. You know, like you're in love with doing it this way, and you are just compelled to do it this way. And that's faith. You have faith in this way of doing things. But then there's this other group that comes along and says faith is what you think. You know, I think this, I believe. You start using the word believe, almost synonymous with faith. When you get into a court of law sometimes, they'll say, well, faith is one thing and belief is another. So when somebody says, I believe this, the judge will often pursue it and to find out if this belief is what he calls, in the legal terms, a conviction. See, because a conviction is more than just what you think. You know, I think he's a nice guy. I think this might work. But a conviction is you got to do it this way. You're compelled by that conviction, that probity, that faith. You see, so when you define words differently, whole different set of circumstances are going to come along in society. And see, the Christians defined, although you wouldn't get this from reading what most people interpret in the Bible, Christians believe that religion was how you did what Christ said, which is feed my sheep, love one another, you know, basic stuff, and how you did that in relationship to your neighbor. In other words, fulfilled your duty to your neighbor, which he defined as loving your neighbor, taking care of your neighbor, providing for your neighbor when he was in true need. So that was religion. And it just astounds me, you know, and it should just astound everybody, that when they, you know, you bring out the Bible and people say, oh, well, that's a religious book. The word religion only shows up 5 times in the whole book. Whole book. It's a big book. Religion, 5 times. It shows up. Law shows up hundreds of times. And derivations of words in reference to the law and verses in relationship to law. Thousands of times. But they say, no, it's a book about religion. It's a book about law. It talks about government. Cain's government, Lamech's government, Nimrod's government, Pharaoh's government, Caesar's government, Christ's government. Yeah, Christ talks about a government. He says you're supposed to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the kingdom, the word we say when we say kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven, that's basileus. That's how they describe the word government. Even when he says my kingdom, my basileus, is not of your world, talking to Pontius Pilate, the word world there is defined in concordances, even religious concordances, as constitutional order and system of government. And it comes from the word camiso, which means to take care of. How you take care of somebody, usually in a group, in an organized fashion. And of course, that's your duty to God and your fellow man. But then, of course, Paul says there are God's many. So do you help take care of the needy of your society because of your duty to God? Or the God of heaven? Or is it one of those God's many Paul talks about? There are God's many. And we've talked about that before, about the word that you see there for gods throughout both Old and New Testament is defined as ruling judges. And when you went into court, you would address the judge as Elohim or Theos, even in the Old Testament. And they even talk about that. You know, have you had this? They talk and they actually translate the word judges in some places. They could translate it judges in lots of places, but they usually put small G-O-D-S, gods. But they're talking about making covenants with those judges who will be ruling judges over you. Just these few little words here that we use every day. If we assign them with the definitions that were at the time of the writing of the Constitution, which the definition of religion in Bouvier's was the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man, not just what you think about God. That's, if you look it up now in Webster's dictionary, in 1969 dictionaries, 1950 dictionaries, 1914 dictionary, you'll find that definition, what you think about God. It's not the performance of your duty anymore to your fellow man. It doesn't include that. The performance of your duty to your fellow man, you're going to find that over in the U.S. codes. It's going to tell you what you have to give and what you have to contribute to the ministers of your civil religion, because if religion is how you take care of the needy of society, you have a civil religion. Your government collects your contribution to take care of the needy of your society. You've even given them the power to borrow money against your future and the future of your children to take care of the needy today, and they're doing it with great abandonment. Now, this should encourage lots of callers, or maybe if we just stun everybody and they go like, oh, what? That's amazing. You know, if people want to talk about rightly dividing the word of truth, this is the conflict between Christians and the rest of the world at that time. This is why the Christians were being persecuted, is because they didn't sign up for the civil religion. They didn't sign up at those civil altars to get the benefits of Caesar or the benefits of Herod the Great or the benefits of Ephesus or the benefits of Corinth. They didn't do that because they knew that what should have been for your welfare offered by these men who exercise authority would snare you and take away your rights and make you a surety for debt, and it would bind you, entangle you in the elements of this constitutional order or system of government. And so, you know, if you play around with those definitions so that they're not what the actual definitions are, you'll be able to create whole religion where everybody is actually fighting and killing each other at different times in history because your opinion of the Creator is different than his opinion of the Creator. They'll put you on racks, stretch your body out, torture you, hang you upside down, flail you, because your opinion of God is different. That's not the religion that Christ was talking about. That's the religion that Christ condemned. Because, see, he did talk about religion. Like I said, it's mentioned 5 times in the Bible. 4 of the times, it was condemned by Christ. That it was a bad system of religion. An evil system of religion. A woe unto you, wicked system of religion. And the amazing thing is, because it was a system of religion based not upon what you do, but what you think. You didn't have to do anything. You just think very clearly. If you look up the word religion in the Bible, you know, we've talked about this many times, but, you know, this should change the whole course of your life by mentioning this to you. I mean, we see religion in Acts. Acts 26:5, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion lived a Pharisee. Well, he wasn't a Pharisee anymore, so his talking about, although he kind of claimed that at one time, but he was really a Christian. He was following Christ's system. But he came from this strictest of religion, which actually, at that time, wanted to kill Christ. Wasn't alone. I mean, the Sadducees weren't very fond of Christ either. Because, I mean, most people don't even realize why Christ was crucified. Why was he crucified? What did he do wrong? Well, believe it or not, the reason they picked crucify Christ instead of Jesus Barabbas was Jesus fired the money changers, the porters of the temple. And they weren't going to get millions of dollars in silver in this month of Adar, because they collect a huge amount. Every time they had a feast, they would collect a huge amount of taxes. And they were compulsory taxes now, because they had signed up under a system of Corban set up by Herod the Great. Now, historians, theologians, who go through and read the documents and the history of the documents, they know that this is actually what's taking place. That, you know, a number of years before, in the Republic of Rome and in Judea, somebody got the bright idea to offer the people a new deal. Instead of taking care of the needy of their society through free will offerings, through charity, through hope, through faith, and the perfect law of liberty, they said, let's make it a statutory requirement that you have to pay in. But in order to impose such a excise tax, they had to get you to sign up. So they had to make it very attractive. They said, you know what, it's only going to be a little tiny percentage. You know, you needed to pay 10% before because, you know, a lot of people didn't pay in. But now everybody's going to have to pay in equally, so you won't have to pay so much. Just be like, you know, 1% or maybe 1.5%. Smaller amount. Seemed real attractive. And the money just poured in because everybody went out and got the baptism of Herod and the money poured in for Herod. Did the same thing in Rome when they shifted their system of Corban, their system of sacrifice, from free will offerings, which it had always been under, you know, since they had thrown out the Tarquinian kings and established a republic. They were even trying to do this over in England, which was being done by relatives of Paul the Apostle in England, where they were putting up free will offerings to set up systems of charity to help those Brits. And the Brits liked this because their own king was becoming corrupt at the time and he was doing everything for his own wealth. And so now they were going back to help take care, because they hadn't come as far as you guys have come. and getting away from the ways of liberty, which depend upon a social welfare system operating by what Paul calls the perfect law of liberty. Every problem you have today with authoritarian powers ruling over you comes from the fact that you've abandoned that way of free will offerings and gone another way. Just read an article about the VA official by the name of Sharon Hellman, director of the Phoenix Veteran Affairs and Healthcare System, is accused with other management officials of keeping a fake waiting list that made it appear that sick veterans were being treated in a timely manner, while hiding the real list that showed that up to 1,600 sick veterans were waiting months to see a physician. Just amazing. And this is just the Phoenix Veteran Affair. I heard the same stories not very long ago about up in Washington. I hear it all the time about people in Oregon. It says back in from July 2007 through the first week of July 2008, at least 22 veterans in Spokane, VA services area committed suicide. During that time period, however, Spokane VA reported 9 suicides and 34 attempted suicides, according to military.com and other media outlets. Hellman was director of Spokane facilities at the time, same person. The number of suicides were being misreported shortly after news revealed that such data had been falsified. Hellman was transferred to the VA facility in Hines, Illinois. So everybody over there in Illinois, get ready for falsified documents. After having spent less than 2 years in Spokane, from there, Hellman moved to Phoenix, where she was caught doing the same thing again, where she became director of the Phoenix Veterans Affair Health Care System in February 2012. She actually got a bonus of $9,345 over her $169,900 salary, which she is getting for evidently falsifying documents and not providing the care that was promised veterans. Now, the reason I use veterans, that's just a news story, I could find you hundreds of stories like that, is because veterans actually risked their lives to keep you safe. They actually went in and were often injured, sometimes by the very military that they were serving. Just amazing. And they have an entitlement to that care because it was part of the deal that was offered them when they signed up. Now, most people's benefits that they get, they just get them because they showed up. They didn't provide any real service. Oh, they were taxed, but evidently not enough because every year the government goes deeper and deeper into debt, which means the government's not really in debt. You're in debt. Your children are in debt. And your children's children are now in debt. And they're getting more and more in debt. And you're concerned about the fiscal responsibility of your ministers, who you call congressmen and senators, because they keep raising the debt ceiling. And you shake your fist and you growl about it, and those idiots this and those idiots that. And, of course, there's a certain element out there that thinks, oh, well, this is the way we do it. Of course they have to. We'll go bankrupt if you don't raise the debt ceiling, you know. They had the show, The Newsroom, and had a very attractive girl who's supposed to be very intelligent reading lines, folks, because she's an actor. That somehow or other that people are crazy, that if you don't raise the debt ceiling, you know, the whole economy will collapse. It's going to collapse anyway. You know, I actually know somebody who works for the government. I mean, he flies all over, and he works for government contractors. And, you know, he's not a conspiracy nut guy or anything. He actually goes in and does actual services for these contractors. He's, you know, we kind of kidded around that he was a spy or something. he's, you know, I know this guy. We happened to be at his house and did some things for him. He doesn't talk about it. He's not a part of any right-wing conspiracy. But just recently, he has absolutely stocked up with everything from drinking water to ready-to-eat meals. Just piles up, built extra buildings, putting up fences. And he kids about it, but he doesn't tell you about it. But it's like, does he know something that I don't know? Well, there's just a news story today about a big meeting up in northern Oregon and Washington, where scientists are preparing for the next 9-point-something earthquake in the Pacific Northwest. You have a 9-point earthquake like they had before, which may not have even been a 9-point earthquake, but they had it in the Pacific Northwest up along the Oregon coast, and you know, which covers all the way up through Puget Sound and everything, just before Lewis and Clark got here. And it just wiped out whole force, the tidal waves that were caused. Now, at that time, there were not major gas lines crossing earthquake faults. There were not major bridges crossing rivers. There were bridges that are absolutely necessary for bringing in food and people getting in and out and businesses operating and all these things. 9-point earthquake. You could easily be talking 100,000 people dead the first day. It could go a lot farther than that. But I'm pretty sure that this military contractor guy isn't worried about the big earthquakes. I actually am familiar with the foundation of his house on a first-hand basis, and it's not properly set for earthquakes. So, but he's got all these other buildings now. But anyway, I can't tell you where all these people are or anything, but the reality is bad things are going to happen. And they're screwing around with the veterans right now, not providing the service, falsifying what they're giving, and they actually probably deserve the benefit. Many of the health problems they have is directly resulted from putting them in harm's way, which is, you know, make them run before their chariots. Do you think they care about you? Do you think they care about the neighbor? It's going to be every man for himself, just like it was in the days of Rome. You know, just at that particular time in Rome where the Christians are rising up, there were riots by retired military men and officers because they were not getting their pensions. They were not getting their care, including their health care. You know, they had health care in Rome, too. They had the whole thing. Everything you got, they had. That for a while there, they even tried universal health care, but they were already virtually bankrupt. So why did the Christians do so well? Because they had gone back to that other definition of religion, that other definition of faith, and they had started learning what it meant to live by the perfect law of liberty, which promotes a free society, so that when the unrighteous society collapsed, they were already on the road running. You, on the other hand, are not. You, on the other hand, are not connected by a union and discipline network of faith, hope, and charity. You're going to your church and you think you know something about God. You think you know who God is and what doctrines you're supposed to have and when you raise your right foot and when you put your left foot down and when you do the hokey pokey. But you're not doing what Jesus said. You're not taking care of one another. If you need help, you got to go to the men who call themselves benefactors. Now, I'm not telling you to stop going to them. I'm saying set the table of the Lord. That simple. And you do that by doing it with other souls who care about you as much as you care about them. It is the most powerful combination in society. It helps society survive absolutely devastating cataclysms and catastrophes. But that skill has almost been stamped out of the knowledge and understanding and personality of the people of the world today. You get somebody getting attacked in the streets, they close their shades. You get somebody being ripped off. You know, we did a couple more shows on Bundy. I have not yet heard a news report that actually is telling what is going on there and why it's going on. Unfortunately, Mr. Bundy doesn't even really know. He has a little bit better knowledge than the average guy. But the misconceptions concerning what is going on there are just rampant. And we talked about it on an earlier show, and we'll have those in our archives, you know, the Taylor Grazing Act. This is where it all comes on. You know, people says, well, he's not paying his lease. He's leased the land from the government. He's not paying it. No, that's not what's happening. There's fees that he could be paying, but those he owns or did at one time. And that's where the rest of the story comes in. He owned the grazing rights, according to the Taylor Act. We'll talk briefly on that when we come back, and then we'll talk about what you can actually do to make a difference and prepare in a way that you can't hardly, you couldn't do this if you had to. And we'll get a little bit into the spiritual side of this, too, because I was dealing with somebody in Australia who didn't know it, but we'll have to do it after the break. So we're going to go to break right now. Be right back.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how's this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. there are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, so we're talking about a number of things. It's kind of a complex issue, but we just put a webpage up on, well, we had it up, but I expanded it a little bit on our preparingyou.com, preparingyou.com. And you just look up Clive Bundy, and it will tell you a little bit more about the Grazing Act and the fact that he owned the grazing rights and the water rights. And because of that, it's not really public lands. There's a portion of it that's public lands, but the whole, you know, you can't just fence off because there's somebody who owns rights on the land itself. So it doesn't really meet the full qualification, which is, and you know this because they offered to buy his rights out. And see, this isn't like somebody who came to an apartment complex and say, well, I'd like to lease this apartment. You don't have any rights in the apartment. It's totally a lease. But when you have a right, you know, then, you know, it's not treated the same. So most people are unaware of that. They're unaware of how those work. But what they're really unaware of, and this is where Bundy gets into trouble, is he's unaware of how you lose that right. And we also just put a web page up there on the Preparing You site on legal title to help explain that. It's kind of condensed down from the book Covenants of the Gods. And so you can get educated and know how this all works, but it doesn't do you any good to know how it all works unless you do the alternative. If you went to our law site, for instance, the site that talks about what's at preparingyou.com. We have some pages that were just modified up there on law. And you look up and find out how this all works. We have that page on legal title. So you look under legal. And you begin to understand how this system of things works. One of the pages there, it actually is from an article which actually has audios attached to it, Living as If There Was No State. And I was going to look up and see exactly what the name of the page is. The name of the original article, which was written by a guy in Sweden who also lives in Switzerland. And then we added to what he wrote and have at least 3 hours of audio there on the page describing what he's talking about. But his original article was Living as If the State Does Not Exist. And of course, that's what Christ was teaching the people. What bound them to the power and control of Herod the Great, and what bound them to the power and control of Augustus Caesar and Tiberius, because it wasn't a conquered nation yet, was the fact that they sat down with these men who exercised authority and ate at their table. And the Proverbs tells you about that. You know, sit and eat at the table with rulers, men who exercise authority. They're going to just serve you deceitful meats. And this is why David and Paul tell you that you will be snared. So people are trying to live without the New World Order and whatever all that is, or even without the system, but they don't know how to do it. And Christ was telling you, it only works for people who love their neighbors as much as themselves. It only works for people who love their neighbors as much as themselves, enough so that they gather together as one people. And so, you know, we have new pages up on permaculture and permacommunity. There's this new talk about intentional communities. And this is what I was going to mention, somebody over in Australia. And they grow an amazing food garden, forest garden. And I'm really impressed. Of course, they're in a tropical area. See, I'm not only in the desert, I'm in the high deserts. So, you know, we've had 3 feet of snow on May 23rd. So, but we grow a garden and we grow corn every year. even with that, they're in the next valley over, in what they call the sinks, they have had frost in every month of the year. And the people who live here, they say the only month that hasn't snowed in is August of here because we're so high. And yet we've grown corn every year. But I can give you a scenario where you couldn't even do that. You won't even be able to grow corn in Illinois. But I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to awaken you to the fact that your society has taken a wrong turn. And somebody offered you something they call a New Deal. But if you knew history, which you weren't getting because you were all going to public school, but if you knew history, you would know that the New Deal is not so new. It's an old deal that's used to gain control and entangle and ensnare the people into a system that in the Bible is referred to as Babylon or Babylon the Great, because that's what Nimrod was. Now, many of you who have read the Bible think Nimrod was a mighty hunter before the Lord. But what does that mean? I always wonder, what does that mean, mighty hunter before the Lord? And I asked men who could speak Greek and Latin, what does that mean? And they couldn't tell me. At least they never gave me a satisfactory answer. But when I learned Hebrew, and I went in and I had to learn it the hard way, and I learned the code that's in the Hebrew language, and I can show you this, and we do show you for free. You can read our books for free. That what they're really saying is Nimrod was a mighty provider instead of the Lord. And it's not complicated to figure out, because the word you see there as hunter, most of the time it's translated provider or provisions. Someone who either provides food and provisions or the actual act of providing when it's a verb. And before the Lord, the same preposition you see before the Lord is also instead of. So Nimrod was a mighty provider or benefactor instead of the Lord, but he exercised authority one over the other. And here you have Jesus Christ saying, I appoint unto you a kingdom, but you are not to be like the rulers, princes, kings of the other nations who exercise authority one over the other. Yet you go into every Christian church, every Jewish synagogue, every mosque, and you will find it full of people that every time they need a benefit, every time they need assistance, every time they need some kind of medical care or help, they go to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. Yet that's condemned in the Old Testament, condemned in the Torah, it's condemned by Moses. That was what Abraham was fleeing, Terah first and then Abraham. Terah thought he would set up the same kind of system in Haran, but he was going to be more benevolent. That's always the theory. It's kind of like the woman who marries the guy she thinks she's going to change. Yeah, right, like that's going to happen. You know, she might change him for a year or two, but he's going to change back. And besides that, that's false premise. You want to control somebody else. And that's another interesting point. We've seen that recently. Although most people won't recognize it on the network, is that you have the bully totalitarian who comes in and wants to control you, use force, make you do it his way. And then you have the snaky, catty, female personality. And I'm not saying like a woman, a real woman in this way. She's more precious than a ruby. But with the catty way, where they sneak in and they kind of try to get you to go over this way. They kind of tempt you, and seduce you. You know, that's why they snaky, seduce you over this way, to go this other way. And so you have those two different personalities, and both of them are found in the kingdom of hell. If there's a kingdom of heaven, there must be a kingdom of hell, right? And if you've seen our quantum show, I said I'd get a little bit into the spirituality of this. You're caught between two realms of existence. Bible, they talk about one being hell and the other one being heaven. And other folklore, they talk about it being the Elysian Fields or what have you, or Hades. But these two realms, and one is full of pecking order, exercising authority, snaky, take a bite out of you kind of characteristics or personalities or spirits or whatever you want to call them. and we call that hell. And then the other one is this benevolent, loving, kind, generous, life-giving realm that does not exercise authority but operates by the perfect law of liberty because it is full of love. And that realm is right here, too. They're both here. They're all parallel. That's what scientists are telling us now, parallel universes. They're right here. You know, when they have these huge centrifuges, they're sending and colliding this matter around, and they saw energy appear and disappear, and they said, where's it coming from? Well, it must be coming from this other realm. They calculated it all out, and they have big, long. You could get a headache listening to all of it if you're not very good at figuring advanced calculus and all this stuff. But mathematically, they're sure that there's these other realms. And we have audios, you know, string theory, quantum theory. So how do you connect to these other realms if they're sources of energy? And if they're sources of energy and you can connect to these other realms and receive energy, which one do you want to connect to? It's a trick question. Because one of them you connect to and you'll end up like the Blair Exorcist, you know, show, you know, you'll end up being sucked into demonic possession. And there's a lot of that going on right now. And there's going to be more. And if you're tapped into the other one, you may see miraculous events. Of course, you can see miraculous events tapped into the evil side as well, because that's part of that snaky deception. They can deceive you by appearing to do good things. Yes.
I'm sorry. We have a caller.
Okay. We'll give that a shot.
Okay. All right. You're on the air.
Hello, Brother Gregory. This is Cookie.
I recognize the voice. Long time no hear.
Yes, I love your show and I love your program. And I really love the fact that you put everything right out there in front of us and that we really need to hear this stuff. But one thing that I wanted to bring up is that in my experience, and I'm in the 60s, a lot of organizations, religious groups, governments, things that are created by man, which, you know, is for the supposed to be for the benefit of the people, a lot of times the reason they never seem to work out is because there always seems to be those people that get in there with wolf clothing, and they manipulate and scheme, and they make things happen. And so it's to the point, anything organized, I'm to the point where I don't really care for anything organized. You talk about the VA, and I've seen the corruption there. My significant other has had many, many experiences there, and you hear about it on the news all the time, even these young men coming home, and they don't want to deal with emotional stuff and mental stuff, and yet emotional and mental stuff are terrible things to deal with, but, you know, they are not that hard to help or to make a person feel better. Or, you know, there's cranial sacral work and oils and Bach flowers, and there's all kinds of things that would help. But those are too simple and too cheap. And, yes, I've seen the VA where they've stolen the supplies and sold them off to other people, and the guy on the bottom totem pole that signed the papers because the orders had come in goes off to prison for all the bigwigs that end up selling crates and crates and crates of medical supplies, and they get away with it. Or,
right.
You know, you see different things like Common Core, you know, where they say child shouldn't be left behind. Well, there was more children left behind than I can tell you, and it just seems like every organization, whether it be United Way or for breast cancer or even religious groups, where they're involved in LLCs, and they'll kind of be nice to somebody in the congregation that maybe a widow or an orphan or a fatherless boy or somebody that has cancer or something, but then they turn around and send millions and millions to the main branch where the LLC is, and they buy up land and they buy up buildings and they buy up this and they buy up this, and you
right.
know, whether it's in Rome or whether it's in Utah or whether it's around, you know, it's kind of like it's
and,
all about the money.
There's factors that are, it's not the problem that they're organized, because if you read stuff about the early church before it became corrupted and exactly where it was, because there was actually, by 300 AD, there were actually two churches operating, and one of them was created by Constantine, and it was extremely corrupt. It didn't really go anywhere of any consequence until around 1000, and then it all of a sudden sprung to life, and you saw kings coming out of Italy and Germany and, you know, the Debullions and all these things. And if you followed the history, these kings rose up about 1,000 years after the fall of Jerusalem, 1066, William the Conqueror. And this church was there putting crowns on the tops of these men. And next thing you know, you got the Inquisition. 60 million people are put to death. And that was by organization. It's not the fault of being organized. Because if you go back to the early church, they say right there, the emperors were frightened of Christians. For two reasons. One is they resented them because they were privatizing religion, using the term as how they took care of the needy of their society. And the union and discipline of them. Yet, one of the last and first instructions of Christ to the men, he says, I appoint unto you a kingdom, which sounds like an organization. He says, but you are not to be like all these other governments that exercise authority one over the other. You are to be servant. He who is to be higher in your organization is to be there because he is a servant. Not saying he's a servant. He is actually under as a servant. That's all he is. So the difference in the way the world works, and it's just the reverse. The way the world works is it concentrates authority, power, funds, money is power, into the hands of a few. And that's going to end up corruption. Whenever you do that, you're going to have corruption. You're going to have decay. You're going to have abuse. In the kingdom of God, it does everything just the reverse. It's operating by the perfect law of liberty, so there's nobody who has an exercising authority who can tell you what to do. You can't tell anybody else what to do either. You have to come together bound by something else, this spiritual force. And this is how you get into the quantum side. This is how you connect to that side we call the kingdom of heaven, which can empower you, but it empowers you in a way that will cast you up, that will actually help you for the long run. What you're doing is you're constantly spreading the power amongst every individual. So how do you do that? Well, all rights, and we talked about this earlier this morning with property rights. If you go to Federalist Papers, number 10, they're saying all property rights, all rights come from the people. Government has absolutely no rights until the people give them rights. They have to give it to them. And when they do it, they're usually centralizing that power. But in the church, there's no place, in the real church, in his church, there's no real way to do that. So the power, in according to these ministers, is always going back to the people. And we can lay this out where you've been losing power by going to men who exercise authority to obtain benefits, everything from public school to public health to what have you. And every time you turn around, then you end up with examples like we just saw with the VA. But you're going to see that with Obamacare and with all these other. You're already seeing it with Medicaid.
I just wanted to mention to you about Bundy on Coast to Coast. They mentioned that, you know, a little about his thing that was going on a couple weeks ago. But then they brought up the other night that Ron Paul and quite a few people came to his aid. And then Bundy went and shot himself in the foot by talking about, yeah, how negative he is against blacks and Jews and all these people, and they all backed down and they all walked away from him because...
They're into personalities. They're all thinking in terms of running for office, but that isn't what it's about. And the fact is I believe Bundy will probably lose this battle because he's missing something. We've explained that on another show. But the fact is with what's really going on there, and in his comments, I went, you know, and read his comments and looked at them. His comments, he was really indicting the social welfare system that had weakened blacks, weakened whites, weakened everybody.
As a human being, when you connect with other human beings, they're all imperfect, and you should
always
encourage and upbuild and pray for them, But, you know, it's really a shame when something like this happens, when an individual needs help, people come to his aid and help in the
Well, the reality is what a lot of people don't realize is Bundy's only one guy that is losing his grazing rights and property rights. I can give you a long list of people, little old ladies in the forest who've been cut off to their right-of-way and they can't even get to their house anymore, and then the Forest Service confiscates their house. But they own the house on their own land for years and years and years. And this goes on, but they're just one little – they don't get on Glenn Beck's show, so nobody ever hears about it. A handful of people show up, and they're getting paid. They got lawyers that they're paying with tax dollars. You don't stand a chance unless you're a big company. And there are other ranchers right now and American Indians that are losing their grazing rights because they're squeezing them out. They want them off the land. There were over 50 guys in that area who've already lost their grazing rights. Bunny just wouldn't sell out because he's a stubborn old guy. And so it brought it to our attention, and then now they want to get into personalities. They don't want to understand what's really going on. But two items, because we're running out of time, two items that Christ says is absolutely essential in this individual quest where we're supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God, which is the right to be ruled by God instead of other men, and the righteousness of God. And those two elements is the willingness to give, and of course give wisely, and the willingness to forgive.
Right. And
now, you
share.
Don't give your right to choose over anything. You don't give your rights over your children. You don't give your rights over deciding what you're going to contribute. One of the big problems in churches today and all organizations is somebody thinks they're going to elect a guy like Saul or even David or Solomon, and they're going to take care of business for them. Every time they do it, and there's a big, long explanation of this in the Bible, in Samuel 8. It's going
to take. I quote the fact all the time that, you know, we're living in this dimension where Satan is the ruler of this world, and so the thing is, we're just actually guests here.
Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. He means of that system.
No.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are not gifts. We are actually supposed to be holding dominion. We become gifts because we drop the ball. But there is still time for those who will repent, turn around, and pick up that ball, and gather together with the intent of loving one another. And I know a lot of the things that you have done show that you have those kingdom tracks in your life. But this really makes a difference if you start doing this in every aspect of our lives and start doing it together with other people. This, because it's only when you do it with other people that you get to exercise that other part, which is to forgive.
Well,
because,
you.
I mean, we deal with people all the time that are starting out on this road, but they got a lot of baggage, you know, that a lot of problems in their past, that, you know, some resentments, they're mad at the system. Big mistake. You want to be in love with righteousness.
Right.
It doesn't matter what, you know, we're not supposed to just save perfect people. So just come to the defense of perfect people. We're supposed to come to the defense of righteousness.
That's why we pray for Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you right now, I love your spirit, and I really appreciate you clarifying everything.
I appreciate you, too, because I know some of your stories, too. But guess what? We're out of time again. So I want to bless you and thank everybody for coming, and until we meet again, peace on your house, everybody.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.